We are going to talk about whether that prank call featuring Governor Walker that made the national news yesterday is going to be a game changer or conversation changer in any way in the budget repair bill battle. And we'll also talk about other new developments in the debate over public union rights that is spreading nationwide. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 24th. We're going to be welcoming in UW-Madison political scientist Charles Franklin in just a couple of minutes. But first, because this is the first day of our winter membership drive, I would like to congratulate you for helping us reach our goal in our first hour. Thank you so very much. We had a goal of 15 and nearly doubled that goal in the last hour. But a new hour, new goal, same pitching partner. Cynthia Schuster joins me. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Joy. Well, our goal this hour is 35 pledges before 8 o'clock. And so we've got an hour to meet that goal, and you are very important and a very important part of meeting that goal. The number is 888-202-2552. You can also pledge online at WPR.org.
And you can do two good things at once. If you make a $120 donation to Wisconsin Public Radio, that's $10 a month, you can select Food for 40 as your thank you gift. Your thank you gift will be in the form of 40 meals for those facing hunger via a Wisconsin food bank in your area. So pledge any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And for $120, you can select Food for 40 as your thank you gift.
The Ideas Network is with you all day long. Whether you wake up with us here on the Joy Cardine Show, or you ride to work or to errands with us, you cook dinner with us, you listen at home or at work, you get interesting discussions whenever you want them. And we're always here, and you make that possible with your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. We wouldn't be what we are without your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today is one of the best things you can do with just a few minutes of your time. Give us your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay for your pledge. Whether you call or pledge online, we will keep your personal information safe.
Your gift right now will turn into the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember that for your pledge of $120 a year or more, you can select the Food for 40 as your thank you gift, but you will also receive the Wisconsin Public Radio member card. It's a card that gives you 2-for-1 discounts at 243 participating restaurants, B&Bs, and cultural attractions and golf courses around Wisconsin.
And the member card is a year-long reminder of how grateful we are for your support today. We couldn't produce great radio without your donation, so we're happy to send you the member card as our way of saying thank you.
Give now at $120 a year or more, and we will send you the member card. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Once again, our goal this hour is 35 pledges before 8 o'clock. We've got one pledge already. Thank you so much to that person who pledged to Wisconsin Public Radio. Won't you join them now at 888-202-2552 or by logging on at WPR.org.
All right. Thanks very much, Cynthia. We'll talk to you in a bit. And thanks also to Velma in Merrimack, who says, Wisconsin Public Radio is my food for the brain. I cannot imagine life without Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, Velma, I couldn't imagine it without you and without listeners who are very generous in supporting this service. You can join Velma and others by making your pledge of any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Let me welcome our guest now. We are very happy to have with us Charles Franklin, a professor of political science at UW-Madison and co-developer and contributor, co-developer at pollster.com. He joins us by phone. Good morning, Professor Franklin.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Normally, I know you come in studio, but you have to get your daughter somewhere. So thanks very much on a busy morning and joining us. You know,
she's doing a math competition this morning, so I'm very proud of her. So definitely got to get her to that math exam.
Well, congratulations to her. And let me say, too, right off the bat, I sometimes forget to do this because I've been talking about it many hours over the past week and a half. I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension, and I am affected by the proposed changes in the budget repair bill that is in the legislature. And you are too, Professor Franklin.
That's right.
Yeah. So that disclosure underway. There is some breaking news, and I don't even know if you had a chance to see it. I was just handed this, Professor Franklin, that Republicans and Democrats in the Assembly, that's the Assembly, have agreed to a deal that will limit further debate on this bill, the budget repair bill that, among other things, takes away most collective bargaining rights for public workers. And this will likely lead to a vote on this measure in the Assembly today. The deal was announced just after 6 o'clock this morning, following an unprecedented 40-hour debate that began on Tuesday morning. So there's been sort of a marathon session going on with Democrats offering dozens and dozens of amendments, but there is a deal now to limit further debate, and it looks like this particular bill could get a vote later today in the Assembly. What's your take on that?
Well, apparently that is going to go through. You know, Democrats had lined up over 100 amendments. There were some rumors that they might have as many as 200 plus amendments. But after two straight days of more or less continuous session, I imagine that the points they want to make have been made. And apparently, they're not willing to draw the session out still further merely for the sake of having each amendment voted down.
Yeah, and all of those amendments, as far as you know, have been voted down.
As far as I know. I have to say I've not looked at every one of them.
Right, right.
You know, this issue ultimately was expected to rest in the Senate as the Senate Democrats left the state. It clearly will end up being decided by the Senate one way or another. And so I think the added advantage of the Democrats in the Assembly staying and continuing the debate is probably kind of marginal.
Mm-hmm.
Some supporters will say as long as demonstrators can be at the Capitol, members of the Democratic Party in the Assembly should stay and prolong things. I'll let that be a debate within the party. But, you know, it's clear that there's a Republican majority in the Assembly that favors the bill and will eventually get it passed.
So if it passes in the Assembly this afternoon, it still is not the law of the land because the Senate has not acted on it. And right now, at least, because the 14 Democratic state senators are still in Illinois, presumably. The Republican-controlled and the remaining Republican state senators cannot, because they do not have a forum or a quorum, vote on this.
That's right. There are 19 Republican senators. The Constitution of the state actually says that you must have 20 there to act on financial bills. And so until at least one Democrat arrives on the floor, they won't be able to reach that quorum of 20.
Yeah.
And therefore cannot vote.
And so far there has been some pressure being put on those Democrats to return home, including this week I think it was decided there would be no more automatic deposit of their checks. They would have to come to Madison, to the state capitol, to pick up a check.
Not only to the Capitol, as I understand it, the checks are locked in their desks on the floor of the Senate. So they will actually have to appear on the floor of the Senate to get it. It's, you know, obviously a pressure on a personal point. It's costing the members, you know, considerable to stay in their undisclosed Illinois locations. The other area, though, the pressure is building is on the political side. A Senate committee passed a bill or approved a bill to go to the floor that requires photo ID for people showing up at on Election Day. this is something Democrats have opposed for a long time, while Republicans have supported for a long time. And because it's not a financial bill, it doesn't require the 20-person quorum. So when that bill comes to the floor of the Senate in a few days, it will be a bill that Democrats have cared passionately about and are going to be very frustrated that they're not there on the Senate floor to speak against it, even if they can't block that bill.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're seeing other bills in the pipeline of a similar kind that Democrats care a lot about. And this will essentially say, if the union bill is so important to you, you're going to also have to give up participation in other bills that you feel very strongly about. That will be one more element of pressure structured by the GOP to pressure Democrats to come back.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Democrats have said, at least earlier in the week, we are not coming back. The governor also upped the ante this week by saying if this bill does not pass by Saturday, I believe it was, by the end of this week, that up to 1,500 state employees would start receiving their layoff notices, saying that that's just in this current fiscal year, many more thousands in the next budget cycle.
That's right. And that is yet another element of the pressure here. I don't know when the Democrats will come back. Maybe it's this week, maybe it's next month, maybe it's in a year. But sometime in Wisconsin's future, Democrats will come back to the floor. The real question is, what is going to happen in the meantime? And so in his speech to the state this week, Governor Walker raised the ante by saying, we'll have to send out 1,500 layoff notices, more or less, immediately to state workers. And if we don't get the elements of this repair bill done, it will also lead in July to layoffs of 5,000 to 6,000 state workers plus another 5,000 to 6,000 local workers. And so that's an outcome that he says can be avoided if this bill goes through, and that clearly Democrats don't want to be don't want to see happen there. And then finally, the last thing is we're very focused on this particular bill. If we do see that we're at a complete stalemate and there's no prospect of this bill being acted on in the Senate, it's certainly possible to submit a new budget repair bill that will avoid the financial elements of this that are allowing the quorum to block the progress of it. And so some other budget repair bill could go through, and separately the union proposals of the governor could in principle be enacted in a separate bill. So, we don't seem to be at that point yet where the governor and the GOP leadership in the legislature has publicly commented on pulling the bill and redesigning it so that the same elements could be passed by them piecemeal without Democratic support. So this is speculation on my part. Let me brand it as such. But my only point is the clock is ticking on the budget repair, and one way or another, the state will have to act on the budget within the next few weeks at the very least.
We are talking with Charles Franklin, professor of political science at UW-Madison and co-developer at pollster.com. We will talk, as I promised we would, about that prank phone call involving the governor after we take a short break to check the weather. It's going to be sunny in northern Wisconsin, cloudy in the south, or is it the other way around? There is a winter weather advisory, though, posted for Kenosha County from midnight tonight to 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. About 4 inches of snow is possible there. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about politics, some polls, and prank phone calls during this hour with UW-Madison political science professor Charles Franklin. I'm Joy Cardine. It is just about 24 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 24th. Let's talk a little bit about that prank phone call that hit the news yesterday. It featured Governor Walker talking to a blogger, a liberal blogger, who pretended to be campaign funder David Koch. And Koch, or the blogger, was expressing concern to Governor Walker about many things, including the turmoil of the protesters over the budget bill going on at the state capitol. And here's an excerpt from that conversation.
This is one of our employers here in the state of Wisconsin. Amongst the multitude of calls I get from people across the state, across the aisle, across the country, he got through. I think the clear thing is anybody who's looked at the transcript realized I said the same thing on the call to him that I say every day.
That wasn't an excerpt from the call. That was him defending himself on Greta Van Susteren's program. And I'll ask you, Professor Franklin, the governor says he really didn't say anything in that phone call that he hasn't said publicly. Do you go along with that?
I think for the most part that independent observers, people from outside the state, who've commented on this, have come to that conclusion. There's some individually embarrassing elements to it, but for the most part, I think the governor did repeat many of the same things that he said publicly. I would say the larger point that a number of people have made about this is that it shows the kind of access that large contributors have, of ignoring the prank part of it, that a call can get through to the governor this way. But I would be a little... I'd also recognize that the same kind of call from a big contributor would get through to practically any politician of either party. People who are concerned about campaign finance might be bothered by that. I'm simply saying that that kind of access is pretty bipartisan when we're talking about large donors and supporters.
Tom in Germantown has a reaction to that call. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning. Yes, you know, I would take exception with that last statement that your guest just made. What Scott Walker said in that phone call is pretty much what he said in public. I would encourage any listeners out there, if you have not heard this phone call for yourself, to listen to it on the internet, because one of the more disturbing things that I heard Scott Walker say, and he said several, but the prank phone caller said something about, yeah, we should introduce some agitators and troublemakers in there with all those protesters. And Scott Walker immediately chimed in with, yeah, we thought of that,
but decided not to do it, et cetera, et cetera. That sounds kind of like, you know, that we thought about doing that, putting agitators in the protests, Professor Franklin.
You know, as I say, there are several things in here that are embarrassing. I would count that as one of them. But it is clear from listening to that part of it that he does say, yeah, we thought about that, but we didn't do it, and gave some reasons why not. But I think Tom is dead on. Don't take my word for it. The transcript is online at a variety of sources, including the Journal Sentinel, perhaps WPR, I'm not sure.
Yes, we have it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, at least, so you can check it out there.
So you can read the transcript, and you can listen to it, and you can decide for yourself. So you don't have to listen to what I have to say about it. Listen to it and make your own mind up.
You don't think this is going to be a big game changer, though, Professor Franklin?
You know, my point here is that there is so much at stake on both sides with this bill, with labor opposition, that this call is not trivial, but it is relatively modest when you compare the stakes in the budget bill that really are before us. And so for that reason, I think not.
Let me hold you.
He didn't breach some brand new view in this call. He didn't suggest some completely different approach. If that were the case, then it might be a little more newsworthy, but I think not.
Let me hold you there. We're going to check news in just a moment, and then we'll continue talking about the latest in state politics with our guest. But joining me now for just a moment is Cynthia Schuster to update us on how we're doing toward our goal during the membership drive.
Well, Joy, our goal is 35 pledges by 8 o'clock, and we're up to 16. And you can get in on the fun at 888-202-2552 or by logging on to WPR.org to make your pledge.
It only takes a couple of minutes to make that pledge, and supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today may be the best thing you can do with that short amount of time. Give us your name, contact information, and how much you'd like to give and how much you'd like to pay, and you're on your way. Pledge online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You hear great guests all day long right here on the Ideas Network. This is a unique radio service in the nation, and your support makes it possible. Pledge now for the station you rely on and enjoy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can choose one of several ways to pay for your pledge. One of them is ongoing monthly installments directly from your bank account. Once it's set up, your membership automatically renews, and you don't have to think about it again. It's a great way to be a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Your investment, put together with donations from others, make the music, news, and talk possible here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Help us stay strong with your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Please help us reach our goal this hour of 35 pledges. We are not quite halfway there, so your pledge will mean a lot. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks to Jill, who just made a pledge. She says, thanks so much for the educational and enlightening programs. I don't know what I'd do without you. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Thursday, February the 24th. Thank you very much for your generous support during this, the first day of our winter membership drive. We are working toward a goal of 35 pledges during this hour, and we are on our way. Still have 8 to go. Will you be one of those 8 to help us stay on track? Make a pledge of any amount. It will help pay for the programming that you value. WPR.org. You can pledge online or call 888-202-2552. Joining me once again is Charles Franklin, professor of political science at UW-Madison. He's talking with us about some of the latest state political news, new developments in the debate over the budget repair bill that is going on in the state capitol as we speak. We have many callers of Professor Franklin, including a caller who says there are other parts of this budget repair bill that aren't getting a lot of attention, and I think she is right. Anne in Stevens Point. Hi, Anne.
Hi there.
Mm-hmm.
The union stuff is getting a lot of attention, but I'd like to know what else is in that bill. The fact that the governor took that call from Koch Industries so easily, or they thought he did, shows he's in bed with them, and they stand to gain a whole lot by this no-bid contract to sell off state assets like power plants. I'd like to know what else he stuck in there that is just going to slip by when all of this thing comes down.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that that provision in the budget repair bill that does indeed say the state may enter into no-bid contracts to sell off state-owned power plants, Professor Franklin.
Yes, that's right. And Ann is exactly right, beyond the plants as well, that it is a bill that covers some pretty dramatic changes in state policy. That's just one of them. Because the debate and opposition has been so intense from state union workers, we've not devoted the time to those other issues. So one part of it does say that the governor has the ability, or the state has the ability, to sell off state-owned power plants and then presumably lease back the power generated by them, because they generally provide power and heat to state buildings of one kind or another. So that's one part of it. Another major part, which has been largely not talked about, is that it gives state director of human services the ability to restructure Medicaid payments, which for us are BadgerCare, in a variety of ways, and the changes that he would propose have to be approved by the Joint Finance Committee of the legislature, but not the full legislature. So again, that's a large change potentially, and we haven't talked much about that either.
Mm-hmm.
Then finally, there are a variety of other restructuring the debt, which is another very large, in fact, in money terms, is simply the largest, though that one seems much less controversial in partisan terms.
Back to the no-bid contracts, there are a lot of eyebrows being raised because some fear that the Koch brothers, who have contributed a lot to Governor Walker's campaign, will scoop up those power plants and have some sort of sweetheart deal here.
I think there is certainly there are people raising that as a possibility. I think, you know, in a more general sense, why the state should own power plants in the first place, or conversely, given that we already own the power plants, why do we need to sell them to private interests if we then are captives of those interests and have to buy the power directly back from them? The governor presumably would argue that private companies can operate them more efficiently and actually sell us the same power for less money. But I think others would question why that should be done, especially through no-bid contracts, and whether it's Koch Industries, I think, is less an issue, at least for me, than the fact of selling it off to any private interest. Is this a good decision or not? I don't know whether it is or isn't, but, you know, under normal circumstances, it's one you would like to have some time for public and open debate and consideration in the legislature.
For what it's worth, Koch Industries has said on its website and when asked that the Koch brothers have no interest in buying the power plants in Wisconsin. So that's what Koch says about that. And when it comes to the changes in eligibility for BadgerCare or for Medicaid in Wisconsin, there is the fear that a whole bunch of people who are currently on BadgerCare, like maybe adults without children, will no longer be on BadgerCare Plus as a cost-saving reason?
There's a great deal of concern about all of this and very little specificity. That, I think, is the other part of this bill, that it grants large powers to make changes, but it does not spell out anything about the nature of the changes that would be made.
Mm-hmm.
And again, under normal circumstances, if that were a standalone bill, it would get much more discussion, debate, and vetting of what exactly is being proposed. But because all of these relatively large things are packaged together in a single emergency budget repair bill, I think they've not gotten that attention. And then again, of course, the state union provisions have gotten the overwhelming majority of consideration.
Yeah. Well, I was just notified that according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, more state troopers were sent this morning to the homes of some Democratic senators. The Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said that he heard reports that some of them were driving home at night and then back to Illinois in the morning. No arrest orders are out. Senator Fitzgerald is hoping that if they are confronted, they will just return to the Capitol. So we don't know if any of them have been confronted, but in any case, there's still I guess the hunt is still on to get them to come back to the Capitol.
Apparently so. Again, how does this end? I think is a very curious question. With the Democrats leaving, they got one thing that they were really trying to get. They delayed this process so that you and I can sit here and chat about it. And so all the people could get to the Capitol and demonstrate against it, and the debate could be drawn out and more awareness raised about what the elements of at least the union parts of the bill were. But in the process, I think it makes it very hard now for any of those 14 Democrats to come back to the Capitol, whether they do it as an individual or whether they do it as a group of all 14. I think it's pretty clear that they know that walking onto the Senate floor will almost certainly guarantee the passage of this bill. And having taken such an adamant stand against it, conceding that will be very, very difficult. Under normal legislative bargaining, it looks like there might be a deal to be done here. The unions and the Democrats have said they will accept the increase in pension and medical insurance payments in exchange for leaving the union bargaining rights alone. And a number of people, including Senator Miller in his talk after the governor's speech, say this is the kind of deal that a politician would normally take. But I think because the positions have been so clearly staked out, and Governor Walker is quite insistent that unless he gets the part about limiting union bargaining rights, the consequences for the budget in the coming year, and especially for municipalities around the state, will be very, very difficult. They need these tools to deal with that, he says. And so he's not been willing to change that position or shift it in the kind of normal bargaining that you might expect. And as a result, we're at a deadlock. And that makes it very hard for the Democrats to come back, but it also makes it very hard for the governor to consider negotiations that would lead to a deal on it. So I think the end game of all of this remains quite obscure.
Yeah, it seems that they're both sides are entrenched in their position. I know, given that you just said that the governor insists that this has to happen, the bargaining rights have to be limited because of financial reasons. There are many out there, probably more on the Democratic side of things, who say this is not being done for fiscal reasons. This is being done for political power because unions, public sector unions, are among the only large campaign contributors to Democrats. And Republicans, not only Scott Walker, but Republican governors in other states, want to get rid of that funding source for Democratic candidates. What's your take on that?
I think every politician of every party always is faced with a blend of policy decisions and political decisions. You simply can't separate the two. Governor Walker may be right that this is an element of policy for him, but it's inevitable that the point that weakening unions also weakens one of the most important Democratic support organizations is undeniably true as well. We can have a debate between pro and anti-union forces, but the political implications of adopting this policy, I think, are very clear. And that also now underlies this entire debate. One other thing is the governor was supposed to release his budget for the next 2 years, was supposed to do that actually this week, didn't because of the current controversy. But because some of the rationale for the changes in union bargaining rights rests on his arguments about how large the cuts to municipalities and shared revenue are going to be, I think we're rapidly approaching the point where that budget will need to be released anyway, simply so that the legislature can start working on it for the next fiscal year. Yeah. And once we see what those terms are, that may also help to shake up the current stalemate, because at that point we'll actually know how big these cuts are. Up to this point, we simply have the governor saying these changes in union bargaining rights are necessary given what I'm going to propose. Having those proposals on the table might at least clarify where we stand, if not actually lead to any improvement in the negotiations.
So, Professor Franklin, you follow polls a lot with your role at pollster.com. Is Governor Walker on the right or wrong side of public opinion on this? I've seen different polls, but the big national one that got quite a bit of attention just yesterday was the USA Today Gallup poll showing that 61% were saying that they do not want a similar bill, a similar restriction on collective bargaining rights in their state that is happening here in Wisconsin.
That's right. That was a Gallup national poll. But it contrasts with a Rasmussen Reports national poll that showed 48% backing Governor Walker, 38% with the unions. Those have been criticized by opposite sides of the aisle for various biases. And I think they just reflect the fact that how you word the question, how you think about the question, matters quite a bit. We do know that support for unions has fallen a bit over the last 20 years, from around 65% down to around 45% favoring unions or feeling warm towards unions. So there has been some long-term slide in that. But when you ask questions like, should public workers pay more for their benefits, there's overwhelming support for that. When you ask, should public unions be barred altogether, then there's considerable opposition to that. People point to that as a conflict, but I would say it's really a little more shading that paying fair share, that actually sounds pretty good to most voters, a big majority of voters. But ban unions altogether or ban negotiations altogether, then the support for that goes down quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But I would also add that a lot of the polling is being sponsored by interested parties in this conflict, and we should always be really cautious in how we interpret those as well.
One quick call from Fred in Wisconsin Rapids. Hello, Fred.
Hi, guys. Well, first of all, I want to thank Wisconsin Public Radio for airing both sides on this issue, and I do think it's going to be a game changer for your pledge drive. You're going to get a lot of increased contributions. In regard to the blogger, one thing that was interesting was how quickly Koch Industry set up a lobbying office in downtown Madison. That was interesting to know about.
Yeah, Fred, thank you so much for your call and your kudos. I'm afraid we're so short on time because of the time we need for Pledge Drive. I'm going to ask what I thought Fred was going to ask in terms of the consequences of politically. He was wondering about recall of the governor or recall of, for that matter, state lawmakers over this issue.
There are some recall efforts being launched against lawmakers of both parties. With the governor, the law is that you have to be in office for a year, so that wouldn't happen quickly. And I would put on my small D Democratic hat and say, you know, elections have consequences. The most important poll was last November, and Republicans won that overwhelmingly. So they have every right to pursue the policies they believe in and that their supporters voted for. And if you're on the other side, we're going to have an election in November of 2012. That's a perfect opportunity to change the structure of the legislature. Vote the Republicans out if you don't like them. Vote for them and give them an attaboy and go ahead. We have a system here that takes care of these issues. It doesn't happen instantly, but in 2 years we get another shot.
We'll leave it there for now. We'll talk again. Charles Franklin, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be here.
Charles Franklin, professor of political science at UW-Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster, and this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Membership Drive. You count on Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you, and we count on you to help keep these discussions on the air. Please make a gift of any amount right now to help pay for the programs you depend on. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 35 pledges by the end of the hour. We've met that goal, but there's no reason not to exceed it. So please keep your pledges coming at WPR.org and 888-202-2552. And thank you to all those who have pledged already.
During this membership drive, we'd like to say thanks for your support in a very special way. When you pledge $120 to support Wisconsin Public Radio's programs, you can choose a thank you gift that will provide 40 meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond public radio and great radio to those in need in your community. So pledge any amount right now, but when you pledge $120, you can select Food for 40 as your thank you gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I do feel that it's important to give what you can to public radio.
It's really important to support this kind of programming. It's not available elsewhere.
This is a station that sometimes challenges my assumptions.
I have found new friends that keep me really informed.
It's a station that doesn't always agree with me, which is what people seem to like to listen.
And I just feel like it's stealing to listen and not contribute.
I choose to become a member. You should choose to become a member, too.
Thanks very much for choosing to become a member. You can become a member, too, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster, and we are encouraging your support. It's a big part of why this program is available to you right now. So make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is easy. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time.
And a dollar or two a week adds up to about $50 or $100 for the year. And all year long, you will benefit from this program and all of the WPR programs that you love. So won't you make your contribution, any amount, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And please give as generously as you can.
You can listen to WPR on the radio, whether it's in your car, at home, or at work. You can listen online at WPR.org anytime a radio isn't handy.
Wisconsin Public Radio is in your life no matter what you're doing or where you are. So pledge now to support this access to great radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you can, consider making a gift of $1,000. Your $1,000 gift helps pay for others who can't afford to contribute right now. And it works out to about $83 a month. And those installments are easy to set up, whether you give online or on the phone. Any gift makes you a member, and any amount is welcome and appreciated. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy this program during the week. You probably listen regularly at this time. Maybe you also enjoy some of the programs on the weekend, like Zorba Pastor on Your Health or Car Talk. We have something for you every day of the weekend. On weekends, it's extra fun.
Yes, and your pledge right now supports all of the programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's easy to donate. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I am so happy and grateful that we are seeing a strong showing of support this morning. We made the goal at 6 o'clock. We have made our goal of 35 calls during this 7 o'clock hour. It is great to exceed those goals from time to time, though, to make up for when there might be a shortfall. So please do, if you're listening now and you are inspired to help support a radio service that depends on your support, please do make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's 888-202-2552, or you can pledge online in your pajamas at WPR.org.
Thank you very much, Cynthia Schuster. Thank you for your pledges. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.